This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thank you so much for joining me today to do something I enjoy very much, which is diving into the science of our bodies, how things work. And I love the science. I consider myself a very proud dork, all the way, for sure. Nothing to be ashamed of here. I also get excited about mindset because of the huge impact that it has, right? We talk a lot about perspective, the way we think about change, the way we think about our bodies, the way we think in moments we find ourselves struggling, which is critically important because the reality is our thoughts drive our choices. And it doesn't matter how much you know if you aren't consistently doing it, if you are still giving into pity parties, excuses, exceptions. The mindset stuff is very important. But I also think it's powerful to understand your body better. I know for me, when I realized what was happening physiologically, if I would have cereal in the morning or a muffin in the morning or orange juice in the morning, it really changed my perspective on those things. Even though I like the taste of orange juice, knowing what that does to my body first thing in the morning really changed my perspective. So today we're going to talk about some science-based stuff, some physiology stuff, hormonal stuff, around the idea that your body fat is not some inert pile of flab. It's not just a cosmetic issue. Your body fat and my body fat is actually an active endocrine organ. It is not just a pile of mush. Your body fat, my body fat, produces and secretes hormones and creates inflammation, secretes markers that tell your body to be on guard, that it's in an inflammatory or a reactive, in a protected state. This reality that our fat is an active endocrine organ can make burning fat a lot more challenging. But when we understand what's happening and we work with our bodies instead of against them, we can not only improve our health, but make things like fat loss so much easier. This is one of the many reasons that the Eat Less, Move More model of change or weight loss is often not effective and often not lasting, because our fat is more than just a lump of excess calories, right? Excess energy. Today, we're going to be talking mostly about the inflammatory side of things, how your excess fat can create this chronic inflammatory state in your body, and the way that you can quiet that inflammatory response to allow your body to burn fat. Because when your body is on defense, it's like pulling the fire alarm of your body saying, oh, something's wrong here. And in that case, everything goes on a bit of a lockdown mode. And your body is not as willing and able to burn fat when you are in this inflamed state, produced in large part by your body fat. Fortunately, there is a lot we can do about that. And that's exactly what we're going to get into today. Before we do, though, because I don't want to forget, and I have a tendency to forget this, I want to start out, as I have been recently, with the best thing I ate in the last few days and a workout I loved. The food one, well, I'm always excited to share it, but I'm especially excited to share it with you today. I think I might have had too much coffee this morning. And it is along the lines of coffee, which I love to talk about. I could just do a show all about coffee. Maybe I will. I like to drink my coffee black, but it wasn't always that way. I used to put cream and sugar in it. Now I'm a black coffee girl, but I get a lot of emails from people who are looking to make an improvement to their morning coffee because they're flavored creamer people, or they put a lot of sugar or artificial sweetener in their coffee. So the best thing that I've had, and I had it this morning, so very recent, is Picnic Creamer. Picnic is spelled P-I-C-N-I-K, not the traditional spelling for like a picnic outside. You've heard me talk about Picnic before. I'm not affiliated with the company in any way, but Picnic is actually a restaurant, began as a food truck, I believe, in Austin, Texas. And so I used to go to Austin every year for Paleo FX. It's been a couple years since I've been, but I would always go to Picnic because they have great coffee, they have great versions of bulletproof coffee, great food, etc. Well, Picnic expanded, and now they sell bottled coffee drinks. That's what you've heard me talk about before. I think they're great for travel. It's coffee with MCT oil and some whey protein. It's really, really good. But that is not their newest product. They launched a creamer. And it's kind of like bulletproof coffee without the mess or all of the ingredients. So this creamer, this Picnic creamer, includes MCT oil and grass-fed butter and grass-fed whey protein. So it comes in like a cardboard beverage container like a lot of coffee creamers do, and all you do is add it to your coffee and you're good to go. You don't need a blender or anything like that. There's no cleanup. It's not sweet. So if you are looking for a replacement for something sugary, this isn't it. But it is an absolutely wonderful alternative to a traditional dairy creamer that might not be grass-fed. It's also an alternative to bulletproof coffee for people who don't want to clean up or for people who don't want that much fat in their coffee, because one tablespoon of this Picnic creamer is 15 calories, 1 gram of fat, 1 gram of protein, no carbs, compared to, you know, if you are making bulletproof coffee with a couple of tablespoons of oil and a couple of tablespoons of butter, you're looking at a few hundred calories and a lot of fat, of course, very little protein, no carbs. But this is an alternative to creamer and also a way to get some of the benefits of bulletproof coffee without turning it into a full meal. Granted, you can use more than one tablespoon, but the 32-ounce box of the Picnic creamer has 63 1-tablespoon servings. So that's a lot. And if you get it from the Picnic website, again, that's P-I-C-N-I-K, it costs $8.99 for that 32-ounce box, which again is 63 1-tablespoon servings. But if you get it through Thrive Market, which is how I got it, it's only $6.29. $6.29 compared to $8.99, and you get 63 of those 1-tablespoon servings. It's got your grass-fed whey protein, your grass-fed butter, your MCT oil, and though I like my coffee black, if I am looking for a little bit more energy in my coffee, energy, calories, right? We measure energy from food in the form of calories. If I'm looking for a little something, maybe I'm a little hungry or I want a little something on my stomach before I work out, this I think is a great option. So it is cheapest through Thrive Market for those of you that are in the United States. And in addition, $6.29 through Thrive Market, but you can save an extra 25% if it's your first order on Thrive Market and you register through the URL thrivemarket.com/primalpotential. So going through that link, thrivemarket.com/primalpotential, will save you an additional 25% on your first order and you get a free 30-day trial membership. We are talking about the Picnic Coffee Creamer, P-I-C-N-I-K. I really like it. And if you're going to check out Thrive Market, get some hemp hearts. I like the Manitoba Harvest brand, and give my spicy chicken nuggets a try. I posted that recipe up on the blog a week or two ago. It's so good. Everyone that has told me they've tried it has liked it, including my sister, who grew up eating the traditional breadcrumb breaded fried chicken nuggets my mom made. And she said, I tried your hemp heart nuggets. They were so good. I said, how did they compare to mom's? And she said, I thought they were a great replacement. So you can pick up the hemp hearts while you're over at Thrive Market and give that recipe a try. Make sure to let me know what you think, though. I'm really, really curious. Okay. Before we dive into today's episode, a workout that I loved is one I did yesterday. I got it right off CrossFit.com, and it was 3 rounds for time of an 800 meter run and 50 box jumps, 5-0. So you run 800 meters, which is a half mile. Then you do 50 5-0 box jumps, and then you do that again 2 more times. So 800 meter run or half mile run, 50 box jumps, 800 meter run, 50 box jumps, 800 meter run, 50 box jumps. I just like sharing with you workouts that I really enjoy. It's not a recommendation for you, right? If you are just starting out, go for a walk. Go for a walk. You don't have to be all in right away. Or if you aren't just starting out, but it still seems like too much, you could cut it in half. You could do a 400 meter run, which is a quarter mile, and 25 box jumps. Or you could cut it even more than that. You could do a 200 meter run and 20 box jumps. You could do shorter reps, less reps, and more rounds. Or instead of the run, you could bike, or you could swim, or you could row. Instead of box jumps, you could do box step ups. It was a great workout either way. And one thing I really love about looking at workouts on CrossFit.com is they program really well and everything can be modified. When you look at their website, they will give modification options. Like if you're a beginner, do this instead, which I think is really, really helpful. All right, we are going to dive into this talk about how your fat is not this inert lump of jiggly stuff. But before we do and talk about what we can do about that to make our bodies work better, I want to remind you that registration is now open for the fall 12 weeks to transformation coaching group. I'm really, really excited to work with a group of you for 12 weeks through the fall, through the holidays, so that we can create a solid foundation of progress for you, improvements for you. That is not a diet prescription. It is not a meal plan. It is not a food list. It is an individualized coaching program. And if you are curious about the components, how we use the journal, the weekly challenges, the daily coaching audios, the weekly live Q&As, how much it costs, any of that, listen to episode 515. All the information on how it works and how much it costs is over there. And if you want to register, because space is limited, and as of right now, which is before this episode airs, obviously, duh, way to be really obvious, we have like 23 spots left. So go to primalpotential.com/517 to get the link to register. And if you have any questions after you listen to episode 515, shoot me an email and we will chat about it. With all of that out of the way, let's talk about your body fat and inflammation. So, as I said at the start of the show, your fat is not just a blob of jiggle and wiggle. It is an active endocrine organ producing and secreting hormones and inflammatory markers that tell your body, hey, something is wrong here. And I want to focus today primarily on the inflammation side of this, because inflammation plays a major role in our ability to burn fat. Having too much inflammation in your body can without a doubt impair your ability to burn fat. It also impairs your ability to sleep, fall asleep, stay asleep, get into those deeper restorative stages of sleep. Inflammation can impair your ability to focus. And because inflammation is the starting point for just about every disease we know of, reducing inflammation is a big rock in your overall health. Inflammation is a huge factor in excess weight, in diabetes, in depression, without a doubt, allergies, GI issues, thyroid and adrenal issues, infertility issues. All of this is related to inflammation. Now, there are a couple of different types of inflammation, and I think it's important to distinguish between acute inflammation and chronic inflammation. So let's say that you get stung by a bee, right? And you get stung on your hand and your hand swells up a little bit. That is an inflammatory response. That is acute inflammation. It is targeted, it is specific, it is not systemic, and it is healthy. It is necessary. It is one of our body's primary and powerful defense mechanisms. However, that acute inflammatory response is very different from what we're talking about with chronic inflammation, systemic inflammation, your body's inflammatory systems on overdrive. Think about inflammation as a communication within your body. The presence of these inflammatory markers tells your body that something is wrong. And when it's acute, we see this rise in these inflammatory markers. They resolve the issue. The inflammatory markers go back down to their baseline. Everything is as it should be. However, when they are routinely elevated, there is chronic and systemic inflammation in the body, which can come from chronic illness. It can come from obesity. It can come from food sensitivities. It can come from many different things. Your body is in a constant state of alarm. Something is wrong. Because, and we talk about this very regularly on the podcast, because your body's primary aim is to keep you alive, when it feels like something is wrong, it is not going to give the resources to burning fat that it otherwise would. Because in a state of emergency, which is what your body thinks of when you are in this chronically inflamed state, in a state of emergency, letting go of energy reserves is not only not the priority, it's not prudent. In a state of emergency, your body is not going to give up your fuel reserves, your stored fat, because you might need them. One of the ways that we can make fat loss easier, work with our bodies instead of against them, is quieting this inflammatory state in the body. And there are lots of different ways that we can do that so that the body feels safe enough to release that stored fat so that we are not in this state of emergency that sometimes you can't even see or feel, but your body does. Your body knows it because of the presence of these inflammatory markers. When we kind of calm the body down, it says, all right, now, because we're not in a state of emergency, we can burn fat. This became very, very real for me, more than a year ago, when I was having some health issues, and the way that it presented itself to me, it was a period of tremendous emotional stress. With divorce, moving across the country, away from my friends, kind of starting over a new chapter in my life. And I think that was a big part of the catalyst. That was on the heels of a tremendous amount of weight loss, which is also a stressor in and of itself. You know, you're changing your body significantly. And it all kind of came to a head. I had weird symptoms like bruising and numbness in my hands and in my legs. I didn't know what was going on. Long story short, inflammation in my body was on overdrive. There are lots of different ways that this can start for people. For some people, it is just an emotional stressor that lasts a long time, whether that is changing jobs or going through a divorce or a death in the family, prolonged emotional stress can absolutely be a catalyst. Consuming foods to which you are sensitive, right? And you're kind of hitting that alarm over and over and over unknowingly, your body is responding with inflammation to consumption of a food that it doesn't like. That can be a way that it starts. Obesity can be a way that it starts, or illness can be a way that it starts. There's lots of different triggers for this and lots of different ways to quiet it down. When I realized that inflammation was such an issue for me, I had no idea. Yes, I had these symptoms, but it wasn't clear to me that it was inflammation. And inflammation is the starting point for just about every disease we know of, as I mentioned. It became my primary focus. My primary focus was no longer eating for fat loss. It was living to quiet this inflammatory reaction in my body. The inflammation was in my brain and systemically throughout my body, and it was not an acute response like a bee sting. It was chronic. One thing to consider here before we get into kind of what we can do about this is the question, does inflammation drive obesity or does obesity drive inflammation? Both. Does inflammation drive depression or does depression drive inflammation? Both. We can ask this question about diabetes and just about everything. Does inflammation drive diabetes or does diabetes drive inflammation? Both. When we do these things we're going to talk about to calm the overactive inflammatory response, minimize inflammation in the body, the chronic inflammation, we're not doing anything to stop the acute inflammatory response. We want that. You know, if we get a grain of sand in our eye, we want our eye to swell up a little bit to protect the eye and allow it to heal. That is important. But reducing this chronic inflammation is not only amazing for fat loss, but also, guys, even if you do not have excess fat you want to lose, this is critical for health and longevity and focus and mental health and all of those factors, prevention of disease and on and on. Higher levels of inflammation in the body are predictive of future weight gain. Increased markers of inflammation in the body do lead to insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is not just about body fat, but it is a big part of it. It's also about diabetes. It's also about hunger, cravings, heart disease, any type of vascular disease, degenerative brain diseases. Because our fat, our body fat, is not inert, it's not just tissue that has no biological activity. It is an endocrine organ that not only produces and secretes hormones, but also produces and secretes markers of inflammation. It is initiating inflammation. Our fat cells are more likely to trigger and initiate inflammation than other types of cells, than our muscle cells and things like that. As fat mass increases, inflammation also increases. This is important to understand so that we're not just looking at excess fat as a cosmetic issue, as like an aesthetic problem. It is a health problem for the reason that it is this active endocrine organ. This is one of the reasons that body fat is such a big factor in infertility, and that we see higher rates and incidences of infertility in people that are overweight than in people who are not overweight, because of the inflammatory action of body weight as well as the hormonal impact of your body fat. It is producing and secreting hormones, therefore contributing to the hormonal imbalances that play a role in infertility. Just random side note there. So our body fat secretes hormones as well as inflammatory cytokines, markers of inflammation in the body. What do we do about it? I want to talk about some of the things that influence the physical side of inflammation, but the reality is that stress is a factor here. And when we think about stress, Yes, we are talking about physical stress, eating foods to which we are sensitive, etc. But I really want to mention the emotional stress. Too many people are getting triggered emotionally over everything. You spilled coffee on your shirt, and so you get all aggravated. Understand that that stressor is a physical stressor on the body generating an inflammatory response. Now you might be thinking, okay, I'm not changing my life because I got upset that I spilled my coffee. No, but when you constantly create these emotional reactions, it's like pulling the fire alarm over and over and over and over. When you're stuck in traffic and you get all flustered, when you get an email and you don't like the way the person wrote it and you think they were rude and you get all upset about it, you are impairing your health. You absolutely are. So while I definitely want to spend the majority of our time talking about the things that influence the physical inflammation, understand that stress is a driver of inflammation in the body, that inflammation is the starting point of all disease, that chronic inflammation will take years off your life, will make fat loss harder, will make you more hungry, will give you more cravings. Keep that in mind when you get aggravated about every little thing. So your spouse left their dish in the sink. Is that worth pulling the fire alarm in your body? It's not just about the emotional agitation. There is a physical response to that. Every time you get your feathers ruffled, it's not just in your head. There is an equal reaction in your body that is chemical, that is hormonal, that impairs your health. Really keep that in mind and consider the practice of not sweating the small stuff. I was talking to one of my friends the other day who is recovering from surgery, and she was saying that she was struggling to, as she recovered at home, to not get worked up and stressed out about things that were happening at work. And I said, if it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't let it bother you for 5 minutes. And while that certainly seems like a way to be a happier human, it's also about being a healthier human. I want you to begin to really make this connection between the emotional stress and the physical reaction in your body that increases hunger, increases cravings, decreases focus, triggers inflammation in a way that impairs fat loss, and this chronic inflammatory response is the beginning of every disease we know of. It is important to make those changes from a perspective and emotional reaction side of things. So let's talk about strategies for reducing, quieting the chronic inflammation in the body. Sugar and processed fats, whether from processed foods or crop oils like canola oil, soybean oil, etc. Most people aren't still cooking with those. If you are, make a change. We'll talk about that. But in the processed packaged foods, these are pro-inflammatory. When we think about foods that are pro-inflammatory and versus foods that are anti-inflammatory, much of it is individual. I'll tell you about one group of foods that I didn't know were pro-inflammatory for me, but some foods are just pro-inflammatory across the board, like sugar. Sugar is pro-inflammatory. Processed fats, trans fats, fats that have oxidized or gone rancid, which is very, very common in these crop oils like canola, soybean, etc., they are pro-inflammatory. So think about it as pulling that alarm every time you eat them. If that's 6 times a day, that's 6 times a day. Even if it's once a day, that is a lot. That absolutely is a lot. So looking for an improvement today, don't consider this as, oh my gosh, so you're saying I should never eat sugar ever? No, I'm absolutely not. What I'm saying is consider ways today that you are able and willing to minimize sugar and minimize processed foods or these highly processed manufactured fats. That is absolutely one way to quiet the inflammatory response in your body. Let's talk more about this fat side of things. When it comes to dietary fat, what drives inflammation is when they oxidize or they go rancid. This is very common in processed foods. We already touched on that, but I want to talk about cooking with fat, heating fats. Some fats are more stable and are able to stand up to the heat, and some fats are less able to stand up to the heat. What happens when we consume fats that have been oxidized or gone rancid that are less stable, the only thing our body has as raw materials to heal, to repair, to recover, to keep us healthy, to fight disease, are what we give it, right? So when we think about fat as it's used in our body, not stored fat on your hips and your thighs and the backs of your arms, but understand that every single cell in our body has components that are made of fat. Where does that fat come from? As your body replaces and repairs cells, as your body generates new cells, well, the fat that is used to do that comes from the fat that we eat. So when we consume fat that is not stable, that has gone rancid, that has oxidized, that is what the body uses to heal, to repair, to recover, and that gets incorporated into the structure of our cells. So these weak, unstable, rancid fats become weak, unstable, rancid components of our cells. That drives inflammation because the body knows something isn't right here, and that can be a huge factor in inflammation. Part of making the improvement there is, as I said, avoiding crop oils, canola, corn oil, soybean oil, safflower oil, minimizing processed foods, etc. But the other part of it is how you cook with fat. My recommendation, and this is not an all or nothing, you're on or you're off, you're in or you're out, and always or never kind of thing. It's a pursue an improvement kind of thing. I don't tend to heat olive oil or any unsaturated fat. Unsaturated fats are more likely to break down under heat. So your olive oil, for example, is more likely, because it is largely unsaturated, polyunsaturated, it is more likely to break down under heat. So when I use olive oil, it's drizzled on top. If I really want some oil with my fish or whatever protein that I've cooked or even vegetables, I'll put it on after the fact. I'll drizzle it over it after the fact. So I might grill my veggies or steam my veggies lightly in a little bit of water, and then drizzle fat on after the fact. If I'm going to cook with fat, heat it in a pan, I use the more stable fats that are saturated, right? Saturated versus unsaturated, because they can stand up better to the heat. If I'm going to cook with fat, I typically will use coconut oil or grass-fed butter or ghee. Ghee is butter with the milk fat removed. I get mine in a jar from Thrive Market because I can get it organic. It's way more expensive in the grocery store. But when I'm cooking with fat, heating it, I'm going to use the saturated fats like coconut oil, like ghee, like grass-fed butter. And if I'm using olive oil, I'm going to use it after the fact, drizzle it over. Is that an always thing? No, surely there are exceptions. But more often than not, that is the direction in which I am going for the purpose of minimizing inflammatory triggers to my body. The other thing is meditation. Now, this goes in part with what I mentioned a few minutes ago about like not letting the small stuff ring your bell every freaking time. because it's not just about being unhappy, anxious, and stressed out. It's about the physical response your body has to those things and the way that that not only ages you, predisposes you to disease, but also impairs your metabolism and impairs your body composition. So there's many factors of it. When it comes to meditation, I talked about this in episode 454. So if you're curious about how I meditate, monkey mind, all of that sort of stuff, listen to episode 454. I will link to it over in the show notes at primalpotential.com/517. All the episodes I mention in today's show will be linked up over at primalpotential.com/517. So if you want to check out any of those episodes, that'll be a great place to go do that. I got trained in transcendental meditation in January of 2018. And the reason I decided to do that, I had been inconsistent with all sorts of different types of meditation and found it really hard. And I'm just not good at it for years before that. But I kept seeing really successful, creative, brilliant people saying that transcendental meditation was a game changer for them. And so, hey, why not learn from people who are doing things really, really well? I went through the training. I really enjoy it. And one of the things that really drew me to transcendental meditation, way more detail in episode 454, was all of the science behind it. There have been so many studies done on this particular way of meditation. And one of the things that it shows is that it reduces these markers of inflammation in the body. So for me, knowing that inflammation is an issue for me and that inflammation is a huge part of metabolism and health and disease prevention and longevity, I really wanted to incorporate that. It has made a very positive difference for me. Another way to work with your body to quiet this inflammatory overreaction is sleep. Sleep is not for the weak. Busy is not a badge of honor. Sleep is when your body heals and recovers. And when it can't heal and it can't recover and you're not getting either enough sleep or quality sleep, right? Quantity and quality are two very different things and are both very important. And even when you can't increase the quantity of your sleep, you absolutely can improve the quality and vice versa. But if you are not allowing your body to heal and recover, that is a stressor. That will drive inflammation. And there are lots of ways. Do not say, oh, I'm just a bad sleeper. I'm up every couple of hours. You can either give your attention to the problem or you can participate in the solution. There are many ways to improve the quality of your sleep. There are many ways to eliminate and reduce that wired but tired feeling where you're physically exhausted, but you just can't settle down to sleep. I will link to episodes 16016 as well as 181 because I talk in a lot of detail about sleep strategies. It matters, guys. It matters. And we all have a lot going on. But how good are you if you are dying on the inside, if you don't feel well, if you can't focus, or you're predisposing yourself to disease because you're so busy? That's just crazy talk. So listen to episode 16 and or 181. I will link to them in the show notes for today's episode. Another way that I really work with my body to quiet this overactive inflammatory response is the use of light. This can be done for free, or you can invest in strategies to sort of amp this up a little bit. Two things that I do that are totally free. I get outside into the daylight as early in the day as I can. So when the sun comes up, I just go outside for a minute or two and expose my skin to the daylight. The second part of that is minimizing my exposure to light after sunset. So not having a ton of artificial light on as early in the evening as I can after the sun sets. I try to be reducing the artificial light, turning off the lights in my house, minimizing my screen time, all of that kind of stuff. I go into a lot more detail in episode 417, in addition to a sort of advanced technique that I use about 5 days a week, which is a light I have in my house from a company called Joovv, J-O-O-V-V. I talk more about that in episode 417. And I just sit in front of that for a few minutes a day. It is a combination of red and infrared light that can lower inflammation. I also work to incorporate anti-inflammatory foods. As I mentioned with pro-inflammatory foods, much of this is individual, but there are some things that are anti-inflammatory across the board, like omega-3 fatty acids. I don't like to take these in supplement form, but I do love salmon and I do love grass-fed beef. So when I can get wild-caught salmon and I regularly have grass-fed beef, these are ways that I get omega-3 fatty acids, which are anti-inflammatory. They're going to be acting in my body to lower that inflammatory response, which is huge. If you do not like wild-caught fish, or you're a vegan or whatever else, omega-3 supplements are a great option. And I talk about considerations for finding a good one that actually has a beneficial impact in episode 31. Again, I will link to that over in the show notes. And I took the Viome. I don't know if you guys have heard about Viome. If you listen to episode 504, you've heard about Viome. Viome is an assessment of your stool, your poop, to look at the bacteria in your gut. And that, for me, gave me a lot of information that was individualized, because so much of this is just based on your body and your hormones and your microbiome. I didn't know that oxalates are in spinach and in nuts and in seeds, were something that I could not break down. Because I don't have the bacteria to metabolize oxalates, having these undigested components in my gut was driving inflammation. So the Viome assessment, again, all the details, and there's like a discount code if you're curious about it, are in episode 504. But that was a big part for me of finding the individual foods that were driving inflammation and working to reduce those. There's so much you can do right now today. There's so much you can do for free. And there's also the advanced class stuff that you can invest time or money in to make a difference. But I would suggest starting with the stuff that's low-hanging fruit, that's free, that you can do today, reducing sugar, reducing processed foods, overeating is a physical stressor on the body. Even if you're overeating quote unquote healthy foods, it is a physical stressor that drives inflammation. When we take these steps to reduce inflammation, we are improving our overall health. We are enhancing our cognitive abilities. We are making it easier for our metabolisms to do what they were meant to do, right? We weren't meant to pile on extra fat and then struggle to get it off. We were meant to have these built-in controls to stop eating when we're satisfied, eat when we're hungry, and burn excess fat. Reducing inflammation really aids your body in being able to do those things. I mentioned a ton of episodes in today's show, and all of them will be linked up over in episode or the show notes for today's episode. So primalpotential.com/517. A few episodes ago, I mentioned to you guys, and I haven't mentioned it since, that we have a new trial podcast sponsor. This is a company that I have been a customer with since 2014. So I was pumped when they reached out to see if they could work with the show. The company is Fabletics, which is Kate Hudson's activewear company. And I have been a customer for years because of a few reasons. Number one, their prices are crazy. And you guys know that I am all about frugality and not overspending when I can spend less. I have spent so much money on activewear stuff, Reebok, Lululemon, Nike, Athleta, because I want that quality, right? I don't want pants that are cheap and falling down. I've made the mistake of like buying stuff from Target and I feel like I'm always, you know, tugging it up or pulling it down. It doesn't fit very well. It doesn't last very long. The seams don't last long. And I work out hard, right? I jump, I run. And to be honest, I wear my gym clothes around the house all day long. So I want this stuff to last. And Fabletics has great prices and it really holds up well to those more intense workouts. And it's cute too. It's really, really cute. The way that it works is you get a membership and they send you monthly picks. So on the first of the month, you get recommendations based on your style and your preferences. Like for me, I don't wear a lot of shorts, but I really love leggings and capris. So my recommendations don't include shorts because I don't wear them very much. And I told them that. What you can do is you can skip the month and say, nope, I'm not interested in any of this stuff and you're not charged anything, right? Or you can decide to take advantage of the deals. I'm going to link to the purchases I made on the 1st of September so that you guys can see real time. What did I get? I will put pictures over in the show notes at primalpotential.com/517. The other thing that I want to make sure you guys know about is the fact that when you sign up through fabletics.com/primalpotential, you get two pairs of leggings for $24, $24.99, I think, which is insane because as I shared in a recent episode, you can spend $70, $80, $110 on one pair of leggings, but these are fantastic leggings and you get two pairs for $24.99. Even if you're not a big legging person, get them for somebody for Christmas. Get them for somebody for their birthday. Set them aside and give them as gifts because you're not going to find a better deal than that. And if you're like me, you just do it for yourself because leggings are awesome for working out and also for just wearing around the house or to the grocery store. So check out fabletics.com/primalpotential. You'll get two pairs for $24. I think that's an amazing deal. You can order if you are international, but the promotions aren't the same for international orders. So just keep that in mind. You can still go through fabletics.com/primalpotential. Just know you'll get redirected to your country specific site. No worries there. And to see what I got this past month, just last week, go to primalpotential.com/517 and you'll see the pictures there. That's all I've got for you today. If you're curious about working with me this fall, definitely take a listen to episode 515. If you think it's a good move to work together to really start crushing your goals and go into the new year with a ton of momentum, I would love the opportunity to work with you. All the details are in episode 515. The link to register to work with me this fall is in the show notes for today's episode. And if you have any questions, I'm always just an email away. And I hope you have a really wonderful day. Take care. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.